All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton standing here in the confessional corner once again, going through the history around the Reformation. And truly, we get to the watershed event of the 16th century. Now, yes, as a Lutheran, we want to say Luther nailing 95 theses is the watershed event, or the presentation of the Augsburg Confession is the watershed event, or the production and publication of the Book of Concord is the greatest thing. But truly, all of those either shape or are shaped by the Council of Trent from 1545 to 1563. Now, the Council of Trent met in 25 sessions throughout those years. This is the council that truly created and solidified what we know as the Roman Catholic Church through the next 400 years. The greatest resource on the Council of Trent is not anything published by the Church of Rome. It is actually Martin Chemnitz's examination of the Council of Trent. Four volumes that he writes between 1565, 2 years after the council ends, and 1573. And I have the four volumes set on my shelf. I am through about one and a half of the volumes. But Chemnitz quotes the canons and the decrees of the major issues in the Council of Trent and then responds to each of them. And his responses rely heavily on the scriptures and the church fathers. He is the one reformer who uses the church fathers the most against the Roman church. So we're going to look this month at a few of the sessions that Chemnitz takes a special focus on. Starting off with the fourth session, began on April the 8th, 1546. In this session, the council published canons that listed all the canonical books of the Bible, including the Apocrypha, anathemizing anyone who does not accept all of the books. With this, they also declared that the Vulgate was the only version of the Bible that could be used in worship. Latin only, and would be again that way for the next 400 years. And then it was also here that the council codified the idea that the oral traditions that are said to be passed down from the apostles hold equal authority in the church as the scriptures do. Here they put it in black and white in writing to say exactly that. All right, move on to the fifth session, beginning on June 7th, 1546. This session codified the Roman Catholics' doctrine of original sin, stating that the original sin inherited by birth from Adam and Eve is destroyed in baptism. The council also declared that there were two people born without original sin, Jesus and the Virgin Mary. Jesus because he is our perfect Savior, Mary because he was Jesus' mother. And the problem is, okay, if you want to use the logic that they have, and I encourage you, if you want to look at this in Chemnitz's work, please do so. But he also uses the same logic that if, okay, Mary has to be without original sin because of giving birth to Jesus, then wouldn't it be that her parents had to be without original sin, then their parents? And eventually you unworked the entire doctrine of original sin. That, well, there's this one special line of people that does not have original sin, but everybody else does. Well, that makes no sense. But again, it's trying to venerate Mary, which was a lot of the Council of Trent as well. The sixth session started in January of 1547. And here it was the infamous anathema of anyone who teaches salvation by faith alone. The basis of Rome's doctrine of salvation through works is spelled out. And faith is defined as merely historical assent of the story of Jesus. You just have to know the story of Jesus. That's faith in the Roman Catholic mindset of the Council of Trent. The seventh session was in March of that year. The council declared that all who did not believe and practice all seven sacraments as laid out by the Roman Church are to be anathema. So you have to have all seven. And then they focus for a lot of the sessions afterwards in proclaiming exactly what each of those sacraments is necessary to have. The 13th session picks up in October of 1551, and this focuses on the sacrament of the altar. The 14th session comes up the next month, and it focuses on the sacraments of penance and extreme unction. And the council speaks about the necessity of each of these sacraments in the Christian's life. You need penance, first of all, to get rid of all the sins that you've committed since your last confession. And then you need extreme unction because you need that final bit, the last rites, in order to maybe possibly get yourself into heaven and bypass purgatory. These are both absolutely necessary for people. Now, the 21st session was on July 15th, 1562. And here it was codified that the laity can only receive the host. The laity cannot receive the wine. And it, across the board, made this statement boldly and profoundly. 22nd session continued working on the sacrifice of the Mass later that year. The 23rd session then moved from the Mass to the priest and the Sacrament of Holy Orders. The 24th session began on November 11th, 1563. And this one focused on the issues involving the sacrament of matrimony and priestly celibacy, and how the two are mutually exclusive. And then the 25th and final session began on December 4th, 1563. And this focused on basically all the rest of the obscure papal doctrines, like chastity, celibacy and virginity, purgatory, veneration of the saints, relics, images, indulgences, fastings, festivals, and other things. So it was kind of, the 25th one was kind of the catch-all of everything they haven't talked about already. So the Council of Trent is truly the backbone of the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. It gets slightly updated in the First Vatican Council of 1869-1870, so 300 years later. Then a century after that, the Second Vatican Council made even further changes into what we now have as the Roman Catholic Church. So you have, again, a divide in the Catholic Church between the Roman Catholic Church of today, plus then you have the Tridentine Catholics that accept everything up to the Council of Trent. I think the most well-known Catholic of that base is Mel Gibson. And then yet you still have some of the old Rite Catholic churches that don't even accept Trent, that they will go to the Council of Constance that we talked about with Jan Hus and John Wycliffe being burned at the stake. They'll stop at that, and that is the final ecumenical council. So you have this, but 90%+ of Roman Catholics that you will meet are the ones that will accept the Second Vatican Council, which does undo some of the things from Trent. And I've got a booklet with the major documents from that, and I have not gotten to that yet because, it's on my shelf waiting, like a whole lot of books that are there. One day, maybe bring that out as to a confessional corner to talk about, what are the differences? What are the main things in the Roman Catholic Church that still separates us? But that's a topic for another time. Right now, we've finished up the Council of Trent. We are really to the point where we have one major event left in the history of the Reformation of the 16th century, and that is the writing of the Formula of Concord and the publication of the Book of Concord on June 25th, 1580, the 50th anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Next month, we're going to talk about the Formula of Concord, what's going on there, and then in December, kind of to cap everything off, we're going to look at the roughly 50 years after the Book of Concord, starting with 1580, going to about 1630, kind of the shakedown of the next generations of the Reformation. So that's the next couple of months on the Confessional Corner. Right now, I've given you the basics. Again, I encourage you, if you are of a mind to really want to dig into what made the Council of Trent tick, find Martin Chemnitz's 4-volume set. I will put a link to it in the show notes so that you can easily find it. And again, it is a scholarly read, but it is strictly an examination, almost an interrogation of the Council of Trent. And I think if you are of that scholarly mind, you will enjoy it. And if you're not, well, take what I've gotten for you in the last 10 minutes, and you should be happy with that. All right, well, we're going to end it here. Next month, again, we look at the Formula of Concord, the last of the Lutheran confessions. Take a quick brief look at the authors and the outline of it and how we got to that point before we get back into it, probably in 2027, if what I'm thinking the schedule will look like as we go through the Book of Concord again. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, supporting the Wrestling with Theology podcast, and I pray that this brief one has also equipped you so that you may wrestle with the theologies around you today and always. Amen.